Welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. Marcellus Wiley is off today. Coming up, Tom Verducci will be here to preview Game 6 of the NLCS. And I'll tell you why I'm worried about Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs this weekend. But we start today with the Lakers. Let me tell you something about patience. Patience can fix a world of troubles. You got a child wetting the bed, be patient. He'll grow out of it. Hell, I pooped my pants into the fifth grade. I'm not kidding, guys, yeah, I did. All right, the man or woman you're dating won't say I love you, be patient. If they're the right person for you, they'll fold and admit it. But let me tell you what patience won't fix. The 2018-2019 Los Angeles Lakers. Patience might fix one broken jump shot, but it won't do a damn thing to an entire team that can't shoot. The Hollywood James Los Angeles Lakers opened the regular season last night in Portland, and they looked as expected. They can't shoot in a league that has gone three-point crazy. The Lakers lost by 9 points to a Trailblazers team, and after the game, LeBron James and head coach Luke Walton preached patience.
We got, you know, 4 years. We want to, you know, we want to make sure that we're not only playing at our best come the end of the season, but that he's fresh. And, you know, that's a goal for us. And then it's a goal that we're on a journey, and it's not a one-year journey.
Listen, that's all I've been preaching, you know, since the season started, since we got back to work. That it's going to take patience from our team, from all of us, just to you know, figure out one another, you know, figure out what we're good at, figure out what we're not so good at and how we can, you know, be better at it. So it was a good first test for us to be in a building where they haven't lost in the 2000s.
All right, before a late game garbage time barrage, the Lakers shot 4 of 26 from beyond the arc. They finished the game 7 of 30 from Steph Curry land. Second year man Josh Hart was the only Laker who sank more than one three-pointer. Look, Lonzo Ball can't shoot. A summer of tinkering and patience didn't fix his shot. Brandon Ingram is a mid-range shooter, not someone you can count on from deep. Lance Stephenson can't shoot. Neither can Rajon Rondo. LeBron is streaky from deep. The Lakers are going to struggle with spacing, and that's going to hamper LeBron as a playmaker. Last night, he had as many turnovers as assists. The Lakers are a poorly constructed team for the modern NBA. The Trailblazers didn't even play all that well. They shot 44% from the field, but had little trouble dominating the fourth quarter because they have more shot makers than the Lakers. This wait until next year message isn't going to work in Los Angeles, no matter how much the media try to sell it at the behest of Magic and LeBron. It's bad strategy. Let's wait until LeBron has 100 more games on his odometer. Let's wait until he's 35. LeBron won't be a better basketball player next year than this year. And there's certainly no guarantee that Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, or any other star is going to want to come to L.A. next year and play alongside LeBron. Playing second fiddle to James didn't elevate Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh or even Kyrie Irving's stature. That's not a knock on James. It's a statement of fact about how overwhelming his gifts are. The Lakers are a 500 club this year and no closer to unseating the Warriors next offseason. All right, joining me now at the desk today, former NBA players Steven Jackson and Donte Jones, former NBA champions, by the way, Steven Jackson and Donte Jones, right. Plus NBA insider, so awesome to have you here, from The Athletic, Shams Charania. Did I get that right, Shams?
Yes, sir. You nailed it.
Shams bombs are the best thing in NBA reporting. Awesome to have you here, but I'm going to start with Steven Jackson. This is a 500 team at best. You can't fix a team that has no shot makers or no outside shooting in this modern NBA.
You're right, but what other decisions do they have? You know, they put this team together. They say it's a, they don't care how we feel about it. They know they have a four-year, have LeBron for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And whatever they can build in these 4 years to get a championship, if it takes time, then that's just what they're going to do. They can't shoot. We knew that at the beginning of the season. We knew they was going to struggle shooting threes. Last night was exactly how I feel the season's going to go. They're going to struggle. LeBron's going to dominate every night. Rondo's going to help him when he can. But for the most part, they're going to struggle. They don't have no shooting.
They teach us as players, never get too high, never get too low. Mm-hmm. So we look at that game as a snapshot of what they could be on a bad night. and there's a ceiling for that team to get better. That's all you ask for. You saw Portland Trail Blazers team. They had a couple things going for them. Number one, they're an amazing opening night team, won 18 straight. Number two, they had an emotional high because of the loss of their great owner in Paul Allen. So that was a night that was different than any other night for them. And that is the best that they're going to be. I don't think we can.
No.
Listen to me Lillard for a second.
And McCollum didn't even shoot all that well.
And they operated at 49 points combined between the two of them, and they averaged 48 points last year together. Mm-hmm. So that is what they're going to be. That's what they're going to be. But Nick Stauskas, we cannot depend on him to be the third cog in that wheel. And if he does, that's great for them. I want him to do that. Like I have faith in him, but I don't think that he'll be able to score 20 points a night. So
JaVale McGee can't be the second best player for the Lakers either.
Facts. But what I'm saying is it's going to be an evolution of the Lakers. And I think those kids will get more confidence, get better. Mm-hmm. Do I think they'll be shooters overnight? No. But the pace that they had going on last night with 34 points in transition and fast break points, the Golden State Warriors averaged 19, and they were leading the league in fast break points. So if they can keep some half of that going, I think they have a weapon that they can build on, and the guys can get more confidence in shooting.
To me, this speaks to Dante's point. You played with LeBron. How much of this is just work habits? Guys,
right.
These young guys, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, they need to build these habits. There's a difference between okay shots, good shot.
That's the evolution. They're learning on what's a good shot, what's a bad shot.
He doesn't want okay or mediocre shots. He wants great shots. I don't think they've learned that this young group has learned yet because they've only played with LeBron for how many so games?
Facts.
And Lonzo Ball, this is just his third game back. So it's going to be a major adjustment for these young guys to get back acclimated with a player of LeBron's caliber. They've never had the stress and the pressure of getting great shots on every single possession.
They only been around them a month. You got to think. They ain't been around them that long.
And they have room to get better. It's not like they're finished products. They're all young. They all can get better. They were one corner three from being a one-point game at that point in time. And that turned from 4-7, 7-10 real fast. But that corner three go down by Brandon Ingram. We have a one-point game, and it's a tough one with a minute left.
Look. Y'all, I love food, and I can smell things when they're cooking.
Yeah, me too.
And could you not – there was some toast out there last night for the Lakers, and his name's Lonzo Ball. He came off the bench after Josh Hart. Shams, you know, Lonzo Ball is two steps away from being openly on the trading block. He doesn't fit with this team and LeBron James.
Let's just say the facts. So this is his third game back, right, from knee surgery, a torn meniscus in his knee in July, third game back. He's coming off the bench, which he's never done in his life.
After Josh Hart, continue.
And also, he's just like all these other young guys.
Message.
I don't think he's been acclimated to play with LeBron James. And a lot of it is his mindset, dribbling the ball up and just going to the corner. I think, to me, it's a disservice to the Lakers, his talent. If he's just dribbling the ball up the court, giving it to LeBron.
It's a lesson for the kid, first and foremost. From a starter to coming off the bench is one of the toughest things. You see Melo struggling right now. Just your mindset, how you prepare for the game, how you're going to have an impact on the game. However, this is not something that these guys can't get through. Like this is just a part of basketball, and it's a part of basketball to be able to grow and get better. And I think these guys are going to be able to do that.
Lonzo Ball does not fit with LeBron James.
I don't think so either, and I think he's feeling a lot of pressure. You know, with Rondo stepping in. You know, Rondo has a dominant personality, and if you have any chink in your armor, he's going to abuse it. He's going to exploit it. So on and off the court. So if you're not tough enough, you can't even back up Rondo, because Rondo expects a lot from himself, and I'm sure he expects a lot from his backup.
But why do we act like this is what is going to have to be, that there's a trade clause, that this is the end of the year? Like this team is not a finished product.
Not at all.
That's why they have a president in Magic Johnson.
Lonzo Ball also transcended talent. Like Dante said, you can't just give up on.
Right.
Number two. 2018. In 2017, they used to call him a transcendent talent. Then we got a year's worth of work from him. He's not a transcendent talent. I'm so tired of this. We thought that when he was at UCLA. He's not that.
But that's why you have a GM. The Cleveland Cavaliers, before they went to the finals, what they had to do, they got shooting, defense, they got J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert. When it got Channing Frye, next year you know they're in the finals. Going to get shooting is not that hard, especially when you have young assets that can be something and have the potential to be a great player.
You still see Lonzo as a transcendent talent?
I think if you put him in the open court, put him in pick and rolls, the worst thing he can do is dribble the ball up, give it to LeBron, give it to Rondo, and just go to the corner. And even in their
what happens on the other end when they put him in pick and roll? The guy's a bad defensive player too.
I thought he was good defensively last year. I don't know what you guys said.
I don't feel he's all that they cracked him up to be, but he's still an NBA player. He's a professional player by far.
All right, there was something else interesting that went on last night, and this is why I love to call LeBron Hollywood James. They mic'd him up last night. And I got to be honest with you. I loved it. I thought it was great. But it was a hell of a performance.
Oh, my.
I mean, it was. It was a hell of... He knew he was mic'd up. He said all the right things. It was very impressive. But it was...
DiCaprio, I've heard it on every team.
Pacino, and I'm going, hats off, man. Hats off.
Listen, when you get... I've heard those same words on every team from different stars. So this is not acting. This is really him.
And so, and again, I don't know. You guys can definitely correct me. The thing of... And it was perfect. It was beautiful. It warmed my heart. Stay down until your brothers come over and pick you up.
I've said that before.
He's teaching how to be a great team, and that's one of the lessons that I had the ability to learn in college because I had a great leader in Coach K. But you teach them how to rely on each other and how to be a unit. Mm-hmm. All the shots will go in. Shot making is what happens just naturally once you relax and have fun with the game of basketball. But the habits to be a good teammate and be a great team, you learn those on the fly. And he's teaching as he's playing, which he knows that's his responsibility as being the head of the Lakers right now.
I got lucky to play for San Antonio early in my career, and that's why I learned it. So that helped me have a long career, learn how to be a great teammate. I think Tim Duncan named me ultimate teammate. Knowing how to be a great teammate, that it spreads through the team. Yeah, it spreads through the team. And when you start playing for each other, that's when you start winning and having success.
I got to say, as a sports fan, it surprised me last night. Is that part of NBA culture? You stay down until your teammates run
that's
over.
What that, great teams
teammates
do.
Yeah.
That's you what fall great down, teammates don't even great
get up.
Teams
we come and
do.
Get you. That's just how it goes.
Because it's a lesson in that. You rely on your brother to pick you up when you come down. You never have to do it on your own. Once you see the great teams, they rush over to a guy when he gets knocked down, when he's falling out of bounds, because that's that team camaraderie. That's that leadership capabilities that he's trying
that
to
get. That military mentality. No, never leave a man behind. That same attitude on the court.
Shams, you're a journalist like I used to be years ago.
Used to be?
Yeah, used to be years ago. I'm a television
evolution.
Talker. Now.
Growth.
You're a journalist. And so, did you hear any of that? Did you watch the game on television?
Yeah, I was watching it.
Did you hear any of that mic'd up? Did it make you cynical at all? Or did you think that's just authentic LeBron
James? I think LeBron is going even above and beyond to set the culture on this team. I think that was part of the reason why a major reason why he had an appeal to join the Lakers is he can set his own culture here. Dante, how many times did you hear that from, and how much was that a part of your guys' culture on those Cavaliers teams?
It was a part, that's a part of him. That's him. That's what you get when you buy him. You buy that mentality. And that's something he's learned over time. I don't think
he was
God given.
He was not doing this his first year.
He learned this, and he's trying to teach on the fly. Right. There's nothing wrong with him teaching.
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was great. But the only thing that kept running through my mind is just a bit of a skeptical. I was like,
did you see his cards? Did he have cards in his back pocket that he had notes that he had to hit? He was also playing in front of 20,000 people and opening night, and he hit the right notes on it. He's an amazing actor. Then if he could do both basketball,
I'm not saying that. But last year when they all started wearing suits to the playoff games, I love that and I praise that. I understand that LeBron has some leadership qualities, some great leadership qualities. But I also know that last year they rarely, if ever, practiced in Cleveland. And now he's out here, and they say he's practicing hard, and he's doing all this. And so I'm just wondering, is this authentic, or is this like something new here?
You rarely practice at the end of the season.
He just said he's going over and beyond.
He has to.
You have to with these young guys. You know, he's just doing a little extra. He has to.
These guys are all 19, 20, 21. I mean, they've never been exposed anything. LeBron's big-time exposure.
As long as they're impressionable and accepting of this stuff, then they'll be on a great trajectory.
I know you played in Cleveland. You weren't on the team last year. But I can remember, like, Isaiah Thomas last year saying, damn, we never practice when I got to Cleveland. We never
practice. Because by the time he got available to play, they were on that, we have so many games, we have to get off our feet. But you practice at the beginning of the season. And when you have older players, you have to take that time off a little bit and not practice up and down, which is what he needed to get himself going. He was thinking in a
hell of a
selfish.
Authentic, fake, whatever. It was a hell of a performance. I loved it. It was great. LeBron, hats off to you, brother. All right, welcome back. I'm joined now by Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson and a couple of legendary NFL linebackers, Brian Cox and Sean Merriman. Let's move to some big stories, starting in Jacksonville, where the NFL's biggest trash talker, Jalen Ramsey, has gone quiet. Ramsey spent the whole offseason calling out the league, but after Sunday night's blowout loss to the Cowboys, Ramsey had nothing to say, and he kept quiet again during his media availability yesterday.
Do you guys still have that confidence that you guys can bounce back this week defensively?
We'll see.
How much
your thoughts about going up against Hopkins?
Same as usual.
What's that?
Same as it's always been. All the other, my past 2 years, y'all asked me the same question.
I've only been here 1 year.
Well, last year y'all asked me. Next question.
Is he one of the guys you really like going up against? I know you like going up against AB, you said.
Yeah.
Why? You guys talked a lot, you enjoyed the banter back and forth, or, you know, just testing yourself against him?
It's a good matchup.
It's a pretty big change in mentality, Jalen, for the defense. Like, you guys have always had confidence, and now it's, we'll see if we have the confidence. Why such a change?
We still got confidence, but we're going to see how the game goes.
You guys only saw Watson for the second half of the opener last year. What did you see in that from him? What did you see on tape this year?
Really good. All right.
That was Jalen Ramsey's entire press conference. It lasted just over a minute. I don't like this at all. You can't run your mouth for your first year in the NFL and then all offseason, and now you want to get quiet as a church mouse. Some adversity hit. Pro Football Focus has him graded as the 45th best corner in the league right now. I don't like, this is not good.
It's called humble pie. You know, when the defense don't play real well and, you know, you can't go out there and really talk, what's there to say? The defense hasn't shown up the last couple weeks, so it's called humble pie.
I love Jalen Ramsey, but this is the problem. He has a mouthpiece like a boxer, right? I mean, he always talks as if he's the only one on the field. The problem is when you talk like that, you got 10 other guys you play with. So if you're going out there, which he played, I thought he played well. I thought he played okay. But the defense didn't, and the offense sure as heck didn't. So when you don't put those things together, but you're still out there talking, you give the reporters and these people right after the game an open shot at you because how you've been calling out half the league since the season started. So, you know, like you said, humble pie, but also you got to come out and show that team respect. Hey, you know, they played well. They did their thing. We're not playing well right now. You got to just backtrack a little bit without eating your own words.
They got a beat down from the Dallas Cowboys. So that's what happened. And you're right. You have to eat humble pie. He would look like a fool out there talking about, man, you know what? I'm just as good as ever. I'm going to do this. That's what I'm going to do. You can't do that because you said it best. These are other pros he's playing against. He knows he's playing against somebody. Hold up. I know
you. Go ahead, Eric.
You have to back it up a little bit. They've lost two games in a row. You don't want to put that light on the football team. It's already enough light because anytime he plays against somebody, it's almost funny. I love to see what he's going to say. What do you think about something? Oh, he garbage. Like he said about Tyreek Hill. Hey, I'm a cornerback. He's like a gadget. I'm a cornerback. I'm an all-pro cornerback. So you have to tone it. You have two losses.
You can't go bipolar on me, though, Eric. You can't be one guy when things are good and then a completely different person when things are bad. There's something somewhere in the middle. Brian, you was a guy with a big personality, and football humbles everybody, but you just don't become a completely different person.
It does not look good for your brand when you're out there talking about how great you are and your team just took a drubbing. So you have to pull back. And I would surmise...
Okay, there's pulling back and then there's backing the bus all the way into the ocean.
But I would surmise that either Marrone or Coughlin had a conversation with him. Because remember, he got suspended earlier this year for something undisclosed. So they have leadership in that organization. So somebody has told him, hey, this ain't a good look. You need to pull back.
But I don't think he should stop. This is this defense's personality. You know, they're going off of how, you know, he's just so happened to be the guy that's talking the most. But they're really characterized by him going out and saying and doing the things he's doing and then backing it up. The problem is they just haven't been backing it up the last few weeks, so it's really nothing for him to say.
Exactly. What can he say? What's he supposed to say?
He can be honest and be like, hey, look, I know we've looked bad the past couple of weeks, but I can guarantee you this.
You can't admit that. You can't admit that.
The scoreboard admitted it.
He'd be better off saying, I'm just here so I don't get fired.
This is like Deion Sanders at the height of his power, taking off all his jewelry, and taking his clothes off, you know, the fancy clothes off, and just becoming the most humble guy in the league. It doesn't work like that.
Jalen's not Deion.
But he put himself out there like he was.
He's not Deion.
No.
Deion was one of the few people, Deion Sanders, Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas were one of the three people that I would buy tickets to go see. Those guys were special.
What about me?
I hit you too hard.
Okay, listen. To me, Jalen, let's don't compare him to Deion Sanders. Let's compare him to Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman is a guy that a lot of personality, talked a lot of trash, and he has backed it up a little bit now that he's with the 49ers, but he ain't backed it up to the point where this is two straight press conferences where the guy doesn't say anything. And I'm just saying, some of that energy he was feeding, that swagger and confidence he was feeding his teammates,
that's when
you
they
can't
were
take it all
one.
Away.
Yeah. That's when they were ranked number one in the league.
When you're winning, when you're winning,
yeah.
No problem. We're going to say all the crazy stuff.
Right.
Oh, he's garbage. Oh, that team ain't that good.
And then Richard Sherman had Russell Wilson. So you're going to win some games. You know who had quarterback for them. So.
And you don't have Fournette.
Okay, here's what y'all thinking he should back it up.
Yes.
Now that he's got the humble pie, the real solution is if things ever get back going well, pipe down then. Don't disrespect all the opponent. This guy's trash. This guy's trash. Tone that down.
No. When you're good, you want to tell everybody, here's my swag. But when things are going
bad. So he's a front runner and he's going to badmouth everybody in the league, his peers. Talk about himself. Why has he got to talk about every other player?
When things are going bad and you're not winning, you have to have that humble pie. You have to have some humility.
Everybody has.
When you the top dog and you dogging people out, then you got the right to call them trash. Hey, that guy's trash.
But they asked him a straight question. You know, what do you think of Tyreek Hill? They're asking that. What do you think of Tyreek Hill? He said this before he played him. He said, he's like a gadget guy. I'm a cornerback. I'm a pro cornerback. Mm-hmm. He was very clear about that. I think you asked him a direct question. He'll answer, but still. They've been losing. And, you know, as players, we understand the locker room. Man, you can't go out there mouthing
off. I can't believe you're saying this because it didn't matter whether you ran for 20 yards or 120 yards. You always wanted your money. And you let anybody know.
I still want my money.
You ain't never ate humble pie, but Jalen Ramsey got to eat some. All right, to the team that shut Jalen Ramsey up, the Cowboys, who dropped 40 on Jacksonville last Sunday, with Dak Prescott having his best game in a long time. Dak's taken a lot of heat this year, but Jerry Jones has continued to have his back and doubled down on the quarterback again this week, saying Dak is the team's long-term quarterback and comparing him to Troy Aikman and Tony Romo. Man, I love Jerry, but Jerry makes it tough on me, man. Tone it down. This kid, comparing him to Romo and Aikman, they play two different games. Those guys are very accurate from the pocket. Dak's not an accurate guy. Dak's a guy that can run the ball and hurt you on play-action pass. But Dak ain't in the same category as Aikman and Romo in terms of accuracy, Eric.
He's only been in the league. It's his third year. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you some stats.
You can go to his college
career. I'm going to give you stats on a quarterback. You tell me this quarterback. All right. Same year. 3 years. First year, 2,800 yards passing, 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Next year, 3,600 yards, 23 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. The third year, 3,700 yards, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That sounds like how you think that is? Average, okay?
Sounds like a good, decent quarterback.
Just a decent quarterback.
Yeah,
Tom Brady, three Super Bowls. Dak's number's almost the same. There you go. I mean, he don't have the weapons. He doesn't have the weapons.
ED, I got to get your number. I got to get your number. This guy got one game with 250 yards passing. He got five games under 200 yards passing.
Tom Brady had that.
Different league.
This is a pass-happy league right now. The thing that I would say is that Jerry Jones is trying to pump some air into Dak Prescott. If you can't love the one you want, love the one you with, he got no choice but to back this guy.
That's the biggest problem. I don't think the stats and comparing these numbers, it's what Jerry Jones step up and say when he don't have to. Like, you don't have to compare those. Nobody else is comparing these guys. Why are you comparing these guys? And also, the reason why they're struggling or have struggled in the past because Jerry Jones backs people too much, including the coach. You give these people all the security. you give these people all the security. What kind of results you think you're going to get?
But let me tell you this. One thing is that, you know, the bad thing for Dak is he plays for the Dallas Cowboys. If he played for the Los Angeles Rams, the Miami Dolphins, it wouldn't be that big a deal. He plays for the most popular team in the National Football. They expect – They expect, look, Tony Romo wasn't all that.
Right.
And don't forget, they act like Tony Romo was Tom Brady. I mean, he wasn't all that. Troy was good.
You act like Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, well, right. I just want to show the stats. I just want to see, because his stats are just like, almost identical to
different
that.
League.
Identical to
different league now.
It's the same position.
Say, listen, Jerry Jones owes Dak loyalty, in my opinion. Not just for this play on the field, but Jerry Jones went all the way out there on this anthem issue, and you know who followed him out there all the way? Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott co-signed for that. Jerry owes him some loyalty for that, and it needs to be a different kind of loyalty. I agree with Sean. You don't have to go this far. Yep. Tony Romo and Troy Aikman's name doesn't have to fall out of your mouth in order for you to show support for Dak Prescott.
I'm going to steal Eric Dickerson's line one time. I wonder if he's going to show him that appreciation when it's time to pay him.
You know that ain't happening.
What are we talking about?
He's going to get paid what he's worth.
Okay, wait a minute.
What is he worth? Well, according to him,
he's worth according to the team, or what he's worth if you put him out there on the market with the rest of the quarterback?
You put him out there on the market. He's right now, if you put him out there on the market, he's going to get Case Keenum-type money.
Exactly.
$18 million, and that's what Jerry's going to pay him.
Exactly.
That's what he's worth.
Exactly. But the thing is, look, he doesn't have any weapons. He don't have no weapons.
Whose fault is that?
But he don't have weapons. It's not Dak's fault. That's not Dak's fault.
But answer this. I keep going back to this. Every time we get on this conversation to Dak Prescott, did they not know that Jason Witten was retired before the draft? Did they not know that they wasn't bringing back
Dez Bryant?
Did they not know that their offensive line was falling apart? Whose fault is that?
You know what? You can't predict the offensive line. You can't predict.
Well, they knew he was hurt beforehand.
But you can't predict injury. But you can't predict. You know, was it Frederick? You can't predict. You know, did they know they were gonna get rid of Dez Bryant? I would probably say no. They didn't think they were. They probably say, okay, we're gonna keep him for another year or two. I think they should bring Dez back.
There's no way.
No way.
I mean, there's no way.
You got to bring him back.
When his teammate said about Dez Bryant on the way out the door, there's no way he can go back.
When your career was over, did it, like, gradually go down, or did you fall off the cliff?
I think I just, like...
And that's what Dez Bryant did. Dez Bryant's biggest weapon before was he could catch the ball in traffic. Last year, he couldn't catch the ball in traffic, and he can't outrun anybody, so what is he going to do for them?
You know, I think the thing about Dez Bryant is Dez is a guy that is... He's never been fast.
Right.
All right, he had the most drops in the NFL last year.
Right.
All of us have bad years. That happens. It is what it is. You know, that's why they have what they call comeback player of the year, back. I still believe that he's a guy that can get in front of a guy to muscle you. He's never going to outrun anybody. And one thing about Dak is Dak looks like if it's this much, it's not open. In the NFL, that's open. In college, that's open.
Right.
That's my only knock on him. This much is open. He holds the ball a little too long.
Eric, I want to tell you this because Brian Cox does have some Jalen Ramsey in him. He gets a little quiet because earlier in the week when you wasn't here, Brian was bragging that he pushed you off that cliff.
And No, he said that before he came up just now. What? I caught him real good in the hole when he was in Indianapolis. Pow! He's like, oh, please, come on. All right.
He probably heard himself scream.
All right, welcome back. Eric Dickerson, Brian Cox, and Sean Merriman are back. Let's move to Cam Newton, who by all accounts was going to be reinvented as a pocket passer this year under the tutelage of offensive guru Norv Turner. But Cam hasn't exactly changed his style of play, leading all quarterbacks in rushing yards and attempts, but stuck near the bottom of the league in passing. Cam was asked why he's missing out on the passing explosion this year, but claimed he doesn't care about stats.
I wonder if the win and losses are exploding. I don't care. I done seen quarterbacks have 100 yards, and they, you know, they blow them out. And I've seen quarterbacks have 500 yards, and they get blew out. So, I mean, who cares about stats? The most meaningful stat in all of sports is win and loss, straight up.
I agree with Cam, but, guys, I want to have a little bit of a deeper conversation here because I think – these new rules and all this extra protection they're providing the quarterback in the pocket is actually making the dual threat quarterback less valuable. When you have guys like Phillip Rivers at his age who can sit in the pocket more comfortably, less fear, when I look around the league and see all these pocket quarterbacks, their numbers are exploding. I think these new rules are hurting the dual threat quarterback.
You could look at it that way, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I think when you look at the game, I think the most important thing to remember is what Cam said. Wins and losses are more important. Now, you also have to filter into how well your defense is playing, you know, how many rush yards you have. So with I've seen Carolina up close a couple times this year because my son plays for them. Their issue is they work so hard off the run game that when they go to pass, his velocity sometimes is too fast for some of the passes coming and the ball gets up on the receiver.
Not enough touch.
His velocity is really good, almost too good. And then sometimes they're not getting space. As Dick said, you get some of this in the pros, whereas opposed to you're used to this in college. And so the receivers are just getting covered.
There's not another quarterback that's built like Cam Newton. So first of all, he can do it. It's not whether he should not or whatever the case is. He can do it. But if you're a run, if your mindset is run first, nowadays you're not the smartest person on the team because the rules are made for you to be protected. They're made for you to sit back there and get deep balls down the field. But right now, Cam Newton is doing what they're asking him to do. And I'm not saying Norv is asking him to do it, but the team, because without him being able to use his legs right now with no big wide receiver threats or targets, they will be terrible. They'll be terrible. So he's doing exactly what he needs to do in order for them to win. So you can't really fault him in saying that his mentality hasn't changed since last year.
First of all, I like the dual threat. I like as a threat you can run and throw. But
I know you like it.
But hold.
But the go ahead. I'm sorry, Eric. I always cut you off.
Cut me off, man.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But with Cam, when I look at Cam, you know, it's like you see a big baby. Like let's just say he's 11 years old, but he's 6'2". Mm-hmm. They don't treat Cam like a quarterback. They don't throw flags for Cam like they do for the other quarterbacks because he's a big guy. And they almost expect him he can take the hit. You know, we don't worry about Cam. And when I saw when Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, they played, two weeks ago? The way they were teeing off on them quarterbacks, I'm like, wow, are these quarterbacks or not? I just feel like it's good, but it's for Cam. That's who he is. That's not going to change. He's going to always be that guy that's going to run the football. He's going to throw it when he has to, like a Randall Cunningham.
I want y'all to look at this list of the top 10 offenses in the league. Rams, Bucks, Saints, Packers. Just go down that list. There's not a dual threat quarterback. There's no Deshaun Watson in there. Obviously, Cam's not in there. The Panthers, the Texans. Russell Wilson's not in there, a guy that can run. It's all basically pocket passers. The only guy you could, because Aaron Rodgers is banged up, he ain't really running. You could maybe say Pat Mahomes is a dual threat, but he's not. This league, the way it pampers quarterbacks in the pocket, this revolution we kept thinking there was going to be with this dual threat quarterback, is not going to happen.
You know what I'm saying off this list, too? Every one of those teams has at least one, maybe even two big play wide receivers. The Panthers do not. They don't.
I like Devin Funchess more than you. I really do.
He's a good receiver, but he has issues separating that time. You know, the one thing that I would say is the accuracy of Cam Newton can be better. What Benjamin was talking about, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, if I would play with a more accurate quarterback. And then the other thing, I think Cam is programmed to run this offense regardless of who the coordinator is. They run the same offense. It hasn't changed.
How can you say that, Brian, when they've been throwing the ball to Christian McCaffrey a lot this year? Cam's accuracy or completion percentage, I get it. But I've watched a lot of Cam, maybe not as much as you this year, but I think I've watched every game. And Cam, to me, has been streaky. There have been stretches, good extended stretches, where I'm like, damn, this dude's playing lights out. And then he got to that end of that game last week on the final drive, and he wet his pants, and it just blew my mind.
I would argue that the defense hasn't been as strong. If you remember, this team has always been predicated on the run game and a strong defense. The defense has given up more points this year than it has in the past.
And Norv, by the way, if Norv Turner had a problem with what was going on right now, he was the coach and with the Chargers when I was there with the Chargers. If he had a problem with what Cam was doing right now, it'll be fixed. So obviously, whatever's going on right now, he's okay with. because it's being able to get that team going and keep them moving forward. If Norv Turner is an offensive-minded coach, he hated when the defense, when anybody has success. I remember LT came on a few times and a couple of running backs when they wasn't getting the ball enough when Norv came in. Norv wants to pass the ball. So if that's not going on right now and it's not fixed, then he's okay with it.
All right. To the guy leading the league and leading the passing revolution, Patrick Mahomes, whose Chiefs are huge favorites in their matchup with the Bengals Sunday night. While there's no doubt Andy Reid's crew has been dominant this year, Marvin Lewis and the 4-2 Bengals are having a bit of a renaissance themselves, and I think they've got a shot this weekend. Look, I'm a Kansas City Chiefs homer, Patrick Mahomes homer, but I like Marvin Lewis and the Bengals. People to me underestimate how good of a job Marvin has done in Cincinnati. I like the way Andy Dalton's another one of these quarterbacks that's benefiting from all this protection in the pocket. He's having a career year. A.J. Green, they had some drops last week, A.J. and the whole receiving corps, but he's been effective. I think the Chiefs win this game, but there's like a 6-point line. This is going to be a final possession game. The Bengals can upset the Chiefs.
I say the Chiefs win the game, high-scoring game.
Yep.
And particularly because both defenses are poor statistically, whoever gets the ball last wins.
Well, the one thing about Kansas City is they like to run the football, but they throw the football quite a bit with Mahomes. When I look at Cincinnati, because Kansas City's defense is very, very bad against the run. You take Joe Mixon and you keep Mahomes on the sideline with his hat and his clipboard frustrated. That's the way you beat this football team. If you're going to get into a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not going to win that.
and Chiefs are bad everywhere, not just on the run game. But, high-scoring game. But also, the Bengals' defense, they got a guy down in almost every position. Cornerback, Carlos Dunlap is banged up. You know, they got a middle linebacker, and strong safety. They got people all over that defense is banged up. So, it's both teams are going to score 30-plus points. It's no matter who's
Sure how much you all have watched. Most of everybody's watched the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know. Their linebacking core, particularly their inside linebackers, and particularly number 53, Hitchens, who they signed to a big offseason deal from the Cowboys.
He jumps out the way. He don't want to tackle nobody.
It's incredible.
He don't want to tackle.
It's incredible.
Well, he'll tackle you, but it's 10 yards down the field.
No, he'll jump out the way and jump let on somebody else do it and then jump on your back.
I watched that game this past weekend. There would be a flare out to the running back in the flat, and I'm like, 53's in perfect position. It's going to be a 2-yard game.
It'd
be 12 yards downfield, first down. I'm like, how? And I read a story today where Pro Football Focus has their linebackers rated at the very bottom of the NFL, and Hitchens, I think, is three places from the worst. And I've just never seen anything like the Kansas City linebacking core.
It's almost like their D coordinator just needs to change their mentality. That all starts there. I can't believe that everybody is bad at tackling. They're the worst tackling team in NFL. And that, to me, says that the defensive coordinator hasn't put his foot down to change that mentality.
Hold it. I disagree with that. Because I played for Bob Sutton. I coached with Bob Sutton. He's a great coach. At some point, your players have to play. And those guys are making business decisions early in the year. They're jumping out the way. Right. The DBs won't tackle. As we've already talked about, Hitchens won't tackle. This is just a bad group of players that won't come together and play ball.
Well, they don't practice tackling anymore. I mean, tackling is not, you know, and yours too.
Right.
Tackling was a big part of practice. If you don't practice it, you don't do it in the games. You kind of, okay, we just going to go. I'm going to let you hit him first. Then I'll jump on. Right. That's kind of how they look at it.
I kind of agree with Brian's contention in terms of a business decision has been made. This is where I think separates the great GMs and the great coaches from the guys that are just mediocre. You can't pay everybody. Right. They gave Hitchens $27 million, and he's like, that's a wrap. He had his retirement ceremony. He's like, I made it. That was the finish line. That was the finish line.
They gave me the wrap now. They gave me the money.
Yep. You've seen that in the NFL. You've seen that you can't pay everybody. They will lay down on you, and that's what it looks like. All right, welcome back. Eric Dickerson, Brian Cox, and Steven Jackson are back. It's returned to the NFL, which surprised a lot of people last month by announcing Maroon 5 would perform at this year's Super Bowl. But now Us Weekly claims the league actually had Rihanna in mind, but the singer turned them down reportedly as a show of support for Colin Kaepernick. Not surprisingly, the news got Twitter humming with Kaepernick and Chief Sean King tweeting, Rihanna refuses to perform at the Super Bowl in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. This is what solidarity looks like. Thank you, Rihanna.
That's how he wrote it?
Yeah, that's how he wrote it. He also added, he goes, this is what being white and pretending to be black looks like. But he also wrote it. We left that out. So now we got, instead of Rihanna at the Super Bowl, we got Maroon 5. It's in Atlanta. Rihanna's part of the hip-hop culture, a part of that whole music vibe in Atlanta. I don't like this decision. Go out there and perform, but and some of this story I don't believe because I think the NFL should be wise enough to know as close as Rihanna is to the hip-hop world, she would have had to have done something during the halftime performance, a shout-out. She would have had to have done something. She had to do something woke, and they didn't want that to happen.
Well, I'm glad she's woke, and I'm glad she's not going. But this is not unprecedented.
Let me stop you. Let me stop you right there, Brian. Let me stop. Let's say the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. You skipping it? No, you're not. No, don't tell that lie.
It depends, because I would ask my son to take care of who he wanted to take care of. And if he wanted me to be there, I'd be there to support my son. But I don't have to be there. I've been in a Super Bowl stadium. I played in a Super Bowl game.
Your son played in the Super Bowl.
If he wants me there to support him, I'm there. No question.
Be there. No matter.
But I'm not going to go to him and say, where's my ticket? I'm not going to be that way.
If you're going to buy a ticket if he don't give you one.
No, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I could have a party
at my house. I stay 20 minutes from the stadium. I could have a party at my house and see everything and just catch up with him after the game.
So you like Rihanna skipping this opportunity to perform in front of the world?
First of all, it's not unprecedented. There have been many people turn it down. Second thing is it's non-paying, so she doesn't gain anything from it. And the third thing is it makes her, you just said that in Atlanta, in the hip-hop community, it makes her stronger with her base. So I'm all for it.
She got a big base.
Why would Rihanna do anything free for anybody? Hey, check this out. Leave the camera on me. Is the camera on me? Listen, whatever you choose to do, I agree with you. You can't do no wrong, okay? Whatever you decide to do, Rihanna, listen, if you want to know how much I agree with you, just check your DMs. I'll give you some messages. _stack5_. Come holler at me. She can't do no wrong. You can't do no wrong.
Well, look.
And I live in Atlanta.
I can move to Atlanta. I say this much here. Adele, she passed it up. You know why she passed it up? She said it's not about the music. It's about a show. And you're right. They don't pay. Mm. I mean, think about all the...
Well, I know you ain't talking.
Well, hey, I mean, golly.
I know you didn't have nothing.
I know you come here because you just love to be on TV. She should get paid. But yes, I mean, she skipped it.
If the Rams go to the Super Bowl, you going?
Of course I'm going. How you say?
Are they
going
to pay you to go?
Yes.
No.
No, they ain't going to pay me to go. But they will. I'm going to get the money anyway. Yeah. Being in there.
I told you last time, money is the motivation.
Thank you.
Money is the motivation now.
They told Rihanna, look, we'll give you $10 million. Huh? Where do I sign?
Right there. This money. There you go.
You know how much exposure that is?
But she don't need no exposure.
Yeah, she's Rihanna.
Rihanna?
She's Rihanna.
Michael Jackson performed at the Super Bowl. Everybody's done performed at the Super Bowl.
Come on,
it's great exposure.
Don't listen to him.
You know what? Don't listen to him, baby.
I moved to Atlanta.
I handle this off camera, baby. I get it.
Look, I mean, honest to goodness, we complain every year, oh, they won't pick African-American or soul or hip-hop group. We complain they won't let us perform at the Super Bowl. And then when they offer us the opportunity, no, we ain't going to do it because Colin Kaepernick ain't in the NFL.
Makes sense to me.
Hey, it ain't paying, so I'm good with it.
Makes sense to me.
If it ain't beneficial, it's artificial.
How is it not beneficial?
She's already a superstar. What is it in for her?
Worldwide.
That's like if we're going to go to sing, we're like, okay, we get some exposure. We're looking for people to know who we are.
If you was asking, let's say, Game the Rapper or
Beyonce,
like that, they need the exposure.
Beyonce did it.
Not Rihanna.
Bruno Mars did it.
They probably got a little kick down, too. It all comes back down to money. Come on,
that would take that advantage, but not Rihanna. Rihanna don't need it.
She don't need it.
I need it. I need the exposure. Rihanna don't need the exposure.
You need the exposure?
If offered the opportunity to perform at the Super Bowl, yeah, I would go out there and sing, and I can't sing. And this is a silly decision. In turn, we complain every year, oh, they won't put a black artist on because Janet Jackson showed her nipple, or Beyonce did her little...
How about that?
I would say Beyonce did her little...
They paid Janet. Trust me, they paid Janet.
Janet.
She ain't doing nothing free. I guarantee you.
I'm done with y'all. Brian Cox is acting like he would skip the Super Bowl.
Like, Brian telling a lie. I'm not. Like, to me, I know that you only get 20 Super Bowl tickets. And there might be some people that he wanted. Or he might have a business deal with a foundation
if
or something.
You're not that he's,
come on, you got it. Yeah, but we need to I'm not going to be you. Pretentious enough to say that I deserve to have one. I'm not going to have a talk with your son.
Yeah. All right, welcome back. All right, game six of the NLCS is tonight right here on FS1. Joining me now is Fox baseball analyst Tom Verducci. Tom, thanks for joining us. Let's get right to today's NLCS controversy, as the Brewers reportedly think the Dodgers are using video to steal signs. We just saw this in the ALCS with the Astros. Why has sign stealing gotten so much attention this postseason?
Yeah, it's sort of a wake-up call for MLB, Jason, analogous to Spygate in the NFL, where the technology advanced so quickly and so well that MLB is actually behind getting a handle on this thing. Now, I'm not saying about the Dodgers, but in general, here's what's happening. Teams invested in high-speed, high-magnification cameras in their own ballparks, many of them, not for the broadcast, but to train them on catchers to pick up the signs, to train them on the pitchers if he's giving anything away, to train them on the coaches in the dugout to pick up those signs relayed to the field. Now, during the course of the game, they can actually scout those sequence of signs that they already had looked at, confirm what signs they're using, relay it to the runner on second base. He relays it to the batter. I don't know why it's allowed that these teams could have these cameras in the ballpark specifically for spying purposes. If I were MLB, I'd do a clean sweep of all these ballparks and get them all out. Because not only are they giving a competitive advantage to the teams with the electronics, it's also slowing the game down. You've seen this with nobody on base, catchers going through a multiple of signs. I've never seen so much paranoia in baseball, and it does slow the game down.
Am I wrong for saying there's a culture of cheating in baseball? Because as I listen to you talk, I'm saying, why aren't they cleaning this up? This seems like easy to clean up.
Well, you're right. There's definitely a culture of cheating, if that's what you call it. I call it more gamesmanship that's allowed. For instance, if you're on second base, and you can pick up through your own eyes the signs of the catcher and relay those to the hitter, that's perfectly fine. Once you involve technology specifically to pick up signs for the other team, that is cheating. That is against the culture of baseball.
All right, Dodgers bats came alive in game four, scoring five runs. What's led to the offensive turnaround?
Bad lighting conditions in game five. It's really funny because they squeaked out that win in game four. They did not have a good offensive night, but they got that one run in the extra innings to get that win. The next day they came back, and several of the Dodgers told me that the lighting conditions were so bad they could not play their usual game, which is really a swing for the fences. They led the league in home runs, so they had to shorten up, hit the ball the other way up the middle. That's exactly what they did in game five. Now, traditionally, that is not their game. Give them credit for going to a smaller ball version of baseball. Now, the Dodgers have won back-to-back games without a home run for the first time in their postseason history, only the second time all year. Tonight in Milwaukee, I would expect they get back to the bigger swings playing home run ball in Miller Park.
We've heard all season, the Brewers bullpen is the greatest thing in baseball. And now we get to the playoffs, and it's the Dodgers bullpen that has outshined the Brewers bullpen. Why did this happen?
Yeah, they really flipped the script here. We knew or thought the Dodgers had the edge in starting pitching. Brewers out of the bullpen has not been the case. Dodgers bullpen has been lights out. 1.25 ERA in this series. And what's interesting is that Dave Roberts has gone to his bullpen as often as Craig Counsell. We did not expect that. 26 pitching changes on both sides in this series so far. Jason, I know how much you love pitching changes. They're so exciting. We can expect more of those tonight. And this is what we expected out of Milwaukee, but we're seeing it from the Dodgers side. Roberts has done a great job matching up his bullpen arms against the Milwaukee hitters.
All right, do or die game for Milwaukee. How do they save their season?
Hey, listen, big game, big spot. You got to get your big guys to step up. And it starts with the 1-2 guys in the batting order, Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. They did it all year for them. This is the way they roll. They need offense, especially getting on base and some damage from those two guys at the top. Dodgers have done a great job keeping those guys down, especially Yelich. You remember, he came into this postseason the hottest guy in baseball. People were talking about, is he going to get the Barry Bonds treatment? Don't pitch to him. Put him on base with walks. The Dodgers actually have pitched to him, and he is missing his pitches. They've attacked him with fastballs throughout this series. He's 1-for-11 against fastballs. I don't think their plan is going to change, because after five games, the Dodger plan to attack Yelich with fastballs has worked.
Wade Miley faced one batter the last time we saw him. What should we expect tonight?
Well, first of all, this guy is the coolest cat on the Brewers team. They all say he is fearless. He's the guy you want in a big spot. Very loose guy, even in these games when he pitches. And I think you're going to see more of the same, as you saw the first time he pitched against the Dodgers, just really burying that cutter inside. Jason, he's pitched 18 2/3 innings against the Dodgers this year and has not allowed an earned run. He's had their number with that cutter. The question for me now is, how does Craig Counsell manage this game? Remember, he was fairly quick with the hook on Wade Miley in Miley's game two start. I think he's got to give this guy a little more rope based on his history against the Dodgers.
All right, over to the ALCS. The Red Sox took out the defending champs last night. Well, whoever wins the NLCS have any shot against the Red Sox team some people think is historic?
Well, they'll have a shot, of course, but definitely the Red Sox will be and should be favored. First of all, they have home field advantage in this series. That means they'll have the DH for 4 of the 7 games starting at home. And especially the way they're rolling right now. I mean, taking out a Houston team after losing the first and 4 straight, 3 straight on the road, they've now won 5 straight on the road at Yankee Stadium and Minute Maid Park. You know, David Price now won that first postseason start for himself. The way he threw last night was just impeccable. The key might be Chris Sale. You know, the Red Sox are saying all the right things, that after that stomach ailment, he's strong, good to go in game one. We'll see once he gets out there on the mound. But with that rest, he should be good. Listen, they're a bear right now. That offense is absolutely relentless. I think if you're going to take out the Red Sox, you better plan on scoring some runs the way their offense is rolling right now. You know, getting 3 runs is not going to cut it against that Boston team right now.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great call tonight.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, welcome back. Steven Jackson is back. You're here for my favorite segment of the show, social media. I'm anti-social media. I can't stand Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, none of it.
As long as you don't spray me with that can.
My Twitter off here.
You got it ready.
Darnell Jackson, our social media manager's here.
Darnell Jackson?
Darnell Smith, I'm sorry. Darnell Smith, our social media
manager. You can be my cousin.
Yeah, yeah.
My cousin.
Darnell Smith. Wearing a Gates barbecue shirt.
Yes,
and they, oh, man, Gates, my people in Kansas City, Mr. Gates, I love you. They hooked me up. But you know what, Mr. Gates? Y'all got to send me some food. I don't care. The barbecue sauce and all that's good. Yeah, we need some food, Mr. Gates. All right, Darnell, what you got?
Yeah, we're going to start with LeBron James, who had Twitter buzzing during his Laker debut last night, especially from a couple monster dunks early. After the game, LeBron had a strange analogy comparing the Lakers' chemistry to instant oatmeal. But former FS1 host Ryan Field noticed something else strange about the game. Anybody else think it's weird LeBron is wearing a T-shirt with a picture of himself on it? Or should we just expect that by now?
I don't think this is weird, to be honest with you. You wear a jersey with your name on your back. What's the problem with wearing a shirt with your face on the front?
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times, if you go to a Nike store, you buy Nike, his face is on it. I wouldn't wear my own shirt. I wouldn't wear my face on my own shirt.
You wear
shirt.
A jersey with your name on the back?
Yeah, I'm getting paid to wear it, too. I wouldn't wear it on myself.
He's getting paid to support Nike?
I have shirts with LeBron on it, so why wouldn't he do it?
Nah, I don't know if I would do that.
I do. KD, LeBron, Steph, I got all that gear. Kyrie.
All right. Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, moving on to Joel Embiid, who was always living his best life both on the court and online. And yesterday, he received a prestigious honor of being inducted into the NBA Twitter Hall of Fame, which is apparently a thing. During his acceptance speech, he explained why he loves Twitter. Take a listen.
It goes back to when I got drafted. So that's when I basically found Twitter. And that was a way to, like, kind of like enjoy myself and to be myself. If I have something to say, that's my platform. I'm going to use it. I like it especially when I beef with other players because they know damn well that they can't go back at me. That's when the process started, and here I am in the Hall of Fame.
This dude, I'm sending Joel a major can, case of Twitter off. He needs it more than anybody. He thinks it's his platform. It's not. He's trapped in that Twitter bubble of disreality, unreality, or whatever, that fantasy world of Twitter. Joel gets major Twitter off here.
First team all Twitter. I love his comebacks. I love how petty he is half the time. When he blocks somebody's shot or he dunk on him, he get on Instagram and say nice. I love the pettiness by Joel. Hey, he's the first team. First team all Twitter.
Y'all both first team. First team all Instagram.
I'm first team all Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got like 12,000 Instagram.
I'm first team all Instagram. No question. And first team all Common Sense.
Oh, man.
First team all Common Sense, too.
Some Twitter off for you, Instagram off. Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, let's shift gears to Dwight Howard, who was looking to jumpstart his career once again, this time with the Washington Wizards, his fourth team in the past 4 years. He was expected to make his season debut last night, but friend of the show Chris Haynes broke the news before the game. Howard will not play in tonight's season opener against the Miami Heat. Lead sources tell Yahoo Sports, he still needs more practice time. This is Howard's 15th season in the NBA. Are you buying that he needs more practice time at this point?
What's not to buy here? If he says he needs more practice time, he's not ready. Is he hurt?
He's coming off back surgery.
Yeah, so if he needs more practice, I don't have a problem with this. I think everybody's jumping on this because people don't like Dwight Howard.
Right.
And so he's the cool guy, or he's the guy that is cool to make fun of and to diss in the NBA. But this doesn't sound abnormal to me. A lot of guys, you know, if you're coming off an injury like that, you need some extra practice time. You trying to gel with a new team, mm-hmm. new players, John Wall and all that. This doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, he took a lot of flack for not even starting training camp with this team. Back injuries are very serious. He got to take his time. I think he's going to definitely help this team, but he want to come back healthy and do his job. And you got to take your time with back injuries.
Let me ask you a better question. Mm-hmm. Is Dwight Howard a Hall of Famer? That's a controversy a lot of people have. I think he is.
I think he is, too.
That Orlando team he took to the NBA Finals, and I know that was early in his career, that was very impressive.
He got crazy numbers. I have numbers better than some Hall of Famers, so Dwight definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame.
All right, Darnell, what's next?
Yeah, I want to show y'all a picture that's going viral online. The Arlington Police Department in North Texas was looking for a suspect who stole 5 cases of beer from a convenience store. And people have pointed out they look like a lot like our buddy Marcellus, who has mysteriously been off the show the past couple days. Marcellus defended himself retweeting the photo and saying, "I have an alibi." Y'all believe Marcellus here?
You know what this looks more like? Marcellus's head on my body. That looks like me and Marcellus teamed up to steal some beer to have a party last night to watch LeBron's first game. That's what it looks like to me.
Say, hey, I ain't no snitch. Snitches get stitches. Hey, just in case that is my boy, I don't know.
You ain't saying nothing.
I don't know.
Is this a legit picture or is this some kind of beer commercial?
No, it's legit. It's a legit picture. This guy got caught right in the midst of things, and
He looked more like Bruh Man off Martin than myself.
What's up?
Yeah.
From the fifth floor.
Right. This is like something Budweiser probably paid this dude to do this. This should be a great commercial. This dude this desperate, he's taking 5 cases of beer. All right, Marcellus, what's next? Marcellus, Darnell. Darnell
Jackson. You beat me right now with Lord.
Tripping. It's Friday.
That's true. So I checked my sources, and Marcellus does have an alibi. He's actually in New York City promoting our show and his book, Never Shut Up. Mm-hmm. And he stopped by the Breakfast Club and even talked about you, Jason. Take a listen.
Nah, you know who he is? He's the black conservative in your neighborhood. We all grew up around him. The guy was like, if y'all act better, y'all pull y'all pants up, y'all be better. Your social behaviors would change all your situations.
Yeah. Social behavior would change systemic racism.
Right. And I think he comes from that because he grew up in the church, so he's an idealist, and then he starts to take that, and he's like, I got everything by doing it the right way. Once I got on a board and in accord with that, things started to work out for him. So he's just trying to replicate that message. Not so mad at it.
Oh, the only thing he's wrong about, I didn't get here by doing everything the right way. Now, what he is right about, I'm just giving people the advice that was given to me by my mom and daddy. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we just didn't tolerate excuses. And so I can remember I tried to quit my college football team. Mm-hmm. My mom and daddy was like, oh, really? And so I'm calling with all these coaches, they racist, they doing this and that. And they, so? Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. you better keep that scholarship because you ain't coming home here. My mama said you ain't coming home to me. And my daddy said you better be going to live with your mama because you ain't coming home with me. That's just the way I was raised. I just try to give people, the same advice I got.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I always tell people, you're one of the smartest people I know. You know, I might not always agree with you, but I respect you. And there's nothing I can say bad about you. So I just love the opportunities you're giving me. So appreciate it.
What about, I am going to give Marcelo some crap about, he didn't tell me he was going to go sit down and chop it up with Charlamagne the God. I would like to give him some advice so he could have poked back at Charlamagne.
Hey, slow down. Now.
You like Charlamagne?
That's my guy.
You like Charlamagne?
That's my guy.
He done gave me donkey today 3 times. And then today
there's a lot of people that's been donkey today.
Today he says, Bomani Jones told me not to give him donkey today no more. Whitlock likes the attention, which is true. I do like the attention.
Trust me, he don't care. You give him a donkey today 20 times, yeah, he don't care.
Trust me, I'm on some stuff that's much stronger than Charlamagne the God. All right, today Steven Jackson is here, and our approval rating is for Rihanna. I'm sorry, not Rihanna.
Oh, 1,000? A billion?
LeBron James, whose Laker career didn't exactly start with a bang, losing to Portland last night. Previously, I've had LeBron at a 77, I believe, and I went up to a 70. No, I had him at a 78, and today I'm going down to a 77. I marked his job performance down 1 point from a 23 to a 22, but he's an all-star level approval rating, which is pretty good. But Steven, you're really high on LeBron.
Oh, yeah. I got it. As JP, I got him at 20. I think the only reason
How can you have his job performance at 20? That seems kind of low.
Because he did everything he needed to do.
That seems kind of low, though.
I had to give him a 25. I couldn't give him a perfect score.
Okay.
I had to give him a 20 because he had 6 turnovers. He had a lot of turnovers that game, which he won't have once he starts. Once again, the chemistry was his guys, he won't have those turnovers. But 20 is good enough.
And then on the rest of these, a perfect score on every all-time greatest. You got him up there with Jordan. Jordan is the GOAT.
Duh. Say,
how can he be the same as Jordan in all-time greatest? Jordan's 6-for-6. You know he ain't on Jordan's level.
When you talk about the greats or the greatest in the league, LeBron is in that conversation. GOAT status.
Character and authenticity, both are 25. As many coaches as he's run over and killed, a 25 character rating.
Character? Did you see him? Stay down. Stay down. Let your brothers come pick you up. That's character. You can't teach better character than that. Stay down. Great team.
Mike Brown, you're fired. That's character.
Eric
Spoelstra, I want you to be fired. That's character.
I didn't hear
Paul that. Silas, I want you fired. That's character.
I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear that?
I didn't hear that.
And then authenticity, a 25, a perfect score in authenticity. Hollywood James, the movie maker, the TV show maker, you out here in Hollywood, everything, 25 off the charts.
Yeah, he's very authentic. Everything he does is authentic. Never seen the coat before. It's the king and the goat mix. We're going to call him the coat today.
All right, so goat status. And so I guess if we had done Rihanna, tell me, before, I already know your score on Rihanna.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't.
I do know.
No, you don't.
I know your score. Look, man, I want to go back to you. What other show does Rachel Nichols let you talk about Rihanna? Why I see you over here cheating on me on ESPN with Rachel Nichols? She let you talk about Rihanna?
I won't see it no more. I'm loyal. And I would never cheat on Rachel.
You would never cheat on
or Rachel or Rihanna. I'm loyal to one side.
All right. Great job, Steven. Do you think, last thing before I let you go, Rockets, Lakers on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think the Rockets take care of it.
I think the Rockets coming off a tough loss against New Orleans. I think they blow the Lakers out the water at home.